Hello, everyone.
Hi.
We are back.
We're so back.
So back, even. Yeah.
Paris is my name.
It is, by the time you are listening to this, it is very deep into March.
Well, it's not very deep into March. It's like a week into March.
Did you hear my caveat?
What's your caveat?
By the time they're listening to this.
Oh, sorry.
Hello. We're back.
Hi. We are KCSU's music directors. We're so back.
By the time you're listening to this, it's going to be probably like halfway through March, but we didn't want to leave you without a February recap for the month of February.
Yeah, we had to do it. Also, and like, February was a disgustingly like album / release filled month.
This is a Spark Notes, very Spark, like
it
a bad
so
Spark Notes version
to
of February.
Try to choose. Like, I have a little list on my phone of some of the stuff that came out. We had a Shy Girl EP, Idols released Tank. I don't know how, but They Found Me released an album.
Little Sims.
EP, Loss of Life. Declan McKenna dropped an album. Astrid dropped an EP. That's a local hyperpop artist. Like, it never ends.
So much good stuff. It was really impressive, actually. I was like,
I know,
quaking in my little boots.
That's why I love February anyway, because it's like my favorite month. So I'm excited to do a recap of my favorite month. But
there are a few good jazz albums.
It's
this
always
month.
February's great
Ross,
for jazz.
The blues, so
February's great for jazz. February's great for music.
So these are just four of our favorite albums from this last month. Mm-hmm. To put you onto some stuff, we're gonna start with one of mine.
Yep. What is it?
I am very excited about this. Mm-hmm. I have been following this composer for a while, and her name is Natalie Drachem, and she is a brilliant mind and wonderful composer, wonderful flute player, performer. And recently she dropped an album that was more in the pop realm than she's kind of stepped before, that I've heard a lot of from the stuff that I've heard from her. And it's Kimun Uye. This album is wild in all of the best ways. It starts off with some very interesting stuff, and then as you kind of listen to the 10-song album, it throws some other things at you you probably don't expect. Like I said, it's more pop, like popular music oriented. I say that very broadly. But Natalie Drachem is also a wonderful singer. She's Haitian American and uses a lot of that culture in her vocal music to inspire and play with what she does when she's singing. And you can see that on this album, but with a lot more of the techniques that she's learned, from sampling to playing flute alongside crazy drum beats and all kinds of stuff. It's really, really awesome. Very interesting, very eclectic.
I think her vocals are really, really cool.
Yeah.
Like, obviously I hadn't heard of her, because you just know all these like really cool like niche artists. But like, when I listened to this record, I was like, partially what I expected it to be kind of in the vein that it is, but at the same time, like, it throws so much at you. Like, it is very experimental.
Yeah.
Even while sticking to like the more like pop sound that you mentioned. And there's just a lot of really cool stuff going on. There is like some flute stuff going on. I don't even know how to like put words to it, because it's one of those albums that's very like, it kind of defies like explanation.
Like it's very standalone by itself. Like, there's not a lot of other things I can put next to this album and be like, oh, these are the same. The title track is still one of my favorites. It was also a single. Kimun Oye was a surprise to me. I didn't know how soon this album was coming out, and I was very excited when I heard it. And it's just really cool, especially having heard of the composer before. The stuff that she does before this is like, the energy of it is still there, but this is kind of a new amalgamation of all these things that, from interviews and talking with her, she's been working on over the years, like sampling and using electronic music more in live performance. And you can see that kind of culminating on,
that's so cool,
within this album.
Yeah, there's like a subtle electric thing happening too, and just like, there's this real like ethereal quality, especially to her vocals. There's a couple songs, the songs I wrote down were Can Be M, which is probably my favorite off the record, and also Noir.
Yeah, that was my other one.
And those are both ones that I think the reason I like them is because they have this like haunting quality to them that I really, really like. There's just this like slight uneasiness, but like in a really good way.
Yeah. All around, it's very interesting. And I think, from having heard a lot of the things that she composes for other people, or that she's played in different ensembles, she was in Eighth Blackbird. I'm not sure if she's still in Eighth Blackbird, but it's just really cool to see this album coming from Natalie Drachem. For sure. Love it.
Thank you for introducing it to me.
What can I say?
So for my first pick, I had to do the mannequin the album.
I am so excited.
It's I Got Heaven. It's their first album since like 2019. Their last record was called Patience. So like, you know, I have had to have patience waiting for them to like drop something else because I'm a really big Mannequin fan. I've always really liked them. Mm-hmm. They're in the like Riot Girl, like punky kind of genre that I'm massively into. But I also like that they don't put themselves exclusively in that box.
Yeah.
Like there's like, they have plenty of songs where Missy, the lead singer, is like not screaming her head off. Mm-hmm. And then they have plenty of songs where she is screaming her head off. And I like that like sometimes they have poppier moments. Sometimes they have like ballads.
Yeah.
They just kind of go where the feeling that whatever the song like requires goes.
And being able to do that is impressive,
mm-hmm.
especially as like a band. It's one thing to do that as like an artist with the help of other people or even just changing genres by yourself. But stepping between those different styles as a group of people is kind of crazy.
I know. Ugh, I love it so much. They released the single for this album, I Got Heaven, which is also like the name of the album. They released it, I remember listening to it like last semester.
Mm-hmm.
So they released it a couple months back and
I feel like it was at the beginning of the semester.
Yeah,
like
it was kind of early. August, I was maybe. So hyped about it though. I would like walk around campus listening to it.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh, there's some killer lines in that. I don't know if I can quote them.
Probably not.
Yeah, I probably can't because they're too cool and punk. And
yeah, they're too cool.
They're too cool for me to be allowed to quote them. But
for sure.
Better believe they're metal.
They are metal.
Yeah, I just, there's like a lot of really good variety on this album that I really, really like. It was actually weirdly calming me down. I was listening to it for the first time in the middle of the night, just in my bed. And it was like actually making me feel very calm, even though there's like a lot of songs where they're screaming. I don't know. I feel very like this sense of catharsis from this type of music.
Yeah.
And it speaks to my soul in a way that not a lot of music does on that super deep cathartic level where I'm like, if I was in a band, this is what I would want to be doing.
Yeah, for sure. And I think sometimes there's a lot of very poetic stuff in the way that they write. I think one of my favorite tracks on the album is Okay, Okay, Okay.
Of course, that's okay. That was one of my
very
big
good
shout-outs.
And a lot of the lyrics make you like think.
Mm-hmm.
If you're really listening to it, it's like, oh, that's not. Sometimes
okay,
I think that you
okay,
can
okay.
kind of get to a place with certain punk and certain genres, like what Mannequin Pussy kind of sits in, where you're like, I don't know, this is pretty simple. Like they're kind of just doing the thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But they are definitely not like that for them. I think there's a lot of stuff that like wants you very deeply to find that meaning in it and figure out what it's like, what's going on there.
Yeah, that's one of those songs. Okay, 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 okay. That's very like, it's been one of my go-tos lately to like put on when I need like some rage and some confidence and stuff. Cause the chorus is just her like, okay, 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 okay. Like it's awesome.
Mm-hmm. It's very, very cool.
It's so sick. There's like so many lyrics on this record that are so like, I feel like the word empowering is a really corny word.
I think
it got kind of cornified by like,
I don't know.
But at but at its core, it is like a very empowering record. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of lyrics that are very like tied up with like autonomy.
Yeah.
And her expressing that. And I just really, really like that. And that means a lot to me in the lyricism.
My other standout on that one is I Don't Know You. Wow. That one kind of gets to me.
Yeah. That was one of the ones that made me kind of emo. I won't lie to you. I really like Of Her, which that's another like super punky one. That's just like where she just repeats the lyric like, I was in control. She gave me her control. Like it's so.
it's very good.
It's really, really cool.
I like it.
Loud Bark, I love. I'm just going to shout out every song.
I was going to say, you're getting close to just like going on a... You said Loud Bark, I Love, like you were going to name one or two more. And I was like, well, there's only 10 of them.
But Loud Bark is so like, it's one of the ones where I'm like, this is me. And I like she just like the main lyric in the song is, I am a loud bark, deep bite. And she just like repeats that. And she also says, I want to be a danger. I want to be adored. Like, oh my gosh. And like a lot of the song is about her like contradictions and stuff.
Yeah.
Ugh. I love it.
That's so funny.
I also love Softly.
Now I can't name anything.
Oh, sorry.
No, I'm kidding.
I'm taking all of them because I was going to shout out another.
Well, if I keep if I say anything, that's like all of, that's like the whole album. So,
well, it's
no,
a really
no,
good
no,
album.
It's okay. I agree.
I also really love Split Me Open. I'm sorry. It sounds a lot like a song that they released in the past called Control. I think it's like a reworked version of that song.
Somebody put a counter in the, like an audio counter in the podcast. Ding every time Paris names a song from this album so that I can count the dings.
Well, Control is from a different album, technically. But
well, you started that conversation with
song.
Split Me Open.
Yeah.
All in all, true. The point is, it's a really good album. I really enjoyed it. It's got a lot of variety to it. And at the same time, it's really deep. In my opinion, it has a lot of really interesting meaning. Mm. And like you said, contradictions. I think there's a lot of interesting juxtapositions on this album, like even within the songs.
I love it so much. So. Yeah, it really just makes you, that you're like, oh, she gets it. Mm-hmm. Like, especially if you're like a cool... If you're like a cool punk girl, you'll be like, wow, she gets it. They get it. So yeah, I love this album.
Pretty good album.
One of my faves of the year already, for sure.
Word. All right, we're going to do my last one now. This one is, this was like a recent development for me.
Mm.
I had known one of the songs off this album since it came out, but I hadn't listened to the whole album until pretty recently. So this album is called Tendencies from Middle Satchery. That's how you say it. It's like spelled funny, so I had to check myself before we got here. But this is devastating. That's the best way I can start
record.
This off. We say that, okay, I think we have a reputation for saying devastating a lot, but you've got to like read into what we mean when we say devastating. Sometimes I'm saying it and I'm like, that was so good that I won't be able to think about anything else for the next 3 days. And sometimes I mean devastating like, that was the best thing I've ever seen. I'm happy now.
Yeah.
And you're just going to have to figure it out. But right now is not one of those two times. This album is like, this hurts me.
It's devastating.
Yeah.
The lead singer, Hunter Pruger, is, he's from Texas. He is a gay ex-Mormon. So like, that kind of says a lot because it's like, oh...
Yeah.
So he's going through it. And then you listen to the album and you're like, oh, he's really going
like,
through
been
it.
Been going through it, is going through it, might be going through it for a while.
The album is kind of like an odyssey through his life of going through it. There's a track called Sweet 16 about like being 16 and like repressed. A lot of this album is about like repression and shame and like trying to work through that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh.
And like throughout the album, there's... these long, like a lot of albums tend to go from one thing to the next pretty quickly. There are almost pauses in this album where you just have to sit with whatever bomb was just dropped on you.
Yeah.
Essentially, like at the very beginning of the album, the first song, I Once Felt Safe, starts playing. And maybe like 2/3 of the way through the song, the actual song is like over.
Mm-hmm.
And you just have to deal with whatever was just happening and sit with whatever was just said.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of parts of the song that are like, of on this album that are like that, where you get this ripping, absolutely terrible experience explained to you.
Yeah.
And then there's like 45 seconds of
just
bare just music.
Suffering through
where
it.
Where you
but
just have
like
to
incredibly
be upset
beautiful.
About that.
It's very lush. This is an 8-piece band.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a lot of instrumentation going on, a lot of like lushness. There's just like a lot of layers, especially like in between the lyrics, because his singing style is very sort of like soft and contemplative and confessional. But then that's interspersed with these like swells of the music. Not to compare everything ever to Black Country New Road, but it reminded me a little bit of Black Country New Road because of that, because of like super personal, vulnerable lyrics.
Yes.
But then there's this massive band like backing him through it and like adding, like giving music to the words.
With tons of different possible soundscapes too. Like when you said this is an 8-piece band, it's also important to think about like, I don't know, if you went to their like Spotify bio and looked at what everyone is like credited as playing, it changes from song to song, from moment to moment. You've got a bass player, a cello player, a viola and guitar player, guitar and drums and prepared guitar. Like they're all doing all kinds of things on different songs.
Yeah.
And you can hear this like absolutely wide palette of sounds.
Definitely.
That shows up on any given song.
Yeah. And I'm just always a fan of like religious metaphor and exploration in music, especially through the lens of like queerness.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, I can do my song shout outs, but...
Whoa.
Are we...
I'm going to start the song shout outs so you don't take the one song I have to shout out.
I'm not going to take it from you because I know what you're going to pick.
Then go ahead. go ahead.
Okay, I really love the song Pornography, which has incredibly devastating lyrics about like growing up Christian. There were so many that I saved. I really loved Imperfect Hands, Sweet 16.
Mm-hmm.
They just all had this like, just this almost like startling level of like honesty in them.
Yeah.
Where I was like, whoa. Like, I actually know, like, your life story and your deepest traumas, and I feel very close to you now.
It's scary. Mm-hmm. Like, listening to the album is almost as harsh on you as it is on other people.
Yeah.
Like, making it, because you are, they're very bearing. Mm-hmm. The, like, these songs are very, very bearing to what everyone is going, like, what the lead singer especially is going through in, at different points. But that's a crazy thing to experience as someone, as a listener.
Definitely. Oh, okay, do you want to shout out your
song? First, I want to say I really like Dallas and the first one, I Once Felt Safe. Big fans of those two songs. But my favorite song on the album is the single that came out, Hate Yourself to the Core.
Hate yourself to the core.
This song.
Who else out there hates themselves to the core?
Hopefully no one.
Put your hands up.
But, okay, this song spoke to me like kind of aggressively when I first heard it.
It was my intro to this band. Was you playing it a few nights ago for me?
It's just a very personable song to me personally. Okay, well, here we go.
I wrote down some lyrics from it if you would like me to read
them. I don't know if you should read those lyrics.
I have other lyrics. I don't have to.
Is it from the first verse or the second verse?
Both. Well, actually, from like later. Well, the lyric, one of the lyrics I wrote down is, there's a love that you'll never know when you hate yourself to the core, which speaks to me and hits.
Those words are words that you don't usually want to put in a song because of the weight of them. Like, saying that out loud is something that like hurts.
There's like a tangible pain to saying these things out loud. I can do the other one.
Go ahead.
Okay. It's a long one, but it's, look at the mirror now as it reflects my naked body. There are two things I'm better off without. I'd walk right to the kitchen and with a knife I'd cut them off if I wasn't scared of blood, just to never lust anymore. God, I hate myself to the core.
And so this song has, we were talking about like poeticism in Mannequin a second ago, but I don't know any of the members of the band. I've never had these lyrics explained to me. It's hard to find anything about it online. And so hearing that, for those vague, it's pretty vague about what it's talking about, and it could mean any number of things.
Yeah.
But as you and I were talking about the other day, there's this like easy to grasp for a lot of us, like pain with this idea of looking
shame
at your naked body and not feeling good about it, and moving from this place of like thinking about these things as good things to, I would be better off without this, that, or the other.
Yeah.
And I just hate this part
of myself
so much because of this. And like, those are things that we've talked a lot about sad music in the last few days. But I think it's really important to be for somebody, and I bless their hearts, I could not do it myself at this moment in my life, but for someone to say those things out loud, it's harrowing for other people to hear this and be like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
That's, I've experienced this specific thing.
It would be really hard to like get on a stage or in a booth or wherever and just say that and just be like, here's my heart and soul. Hope you like it.
But to do it in a way that is so poetic, and there's a different version of this where it's really graphic and specific, but it's not that. Like, the lyrics of the song don't take up too much of the time, of the space, but still in those, like you said, that was a lot. Like, that was a long quote, but that's like probably a fourth of the lyrics in the song.
That's
what you
true.
Just read. Like, there's not a lot of physical substance there.
Because it all just like,
but the weight of it takes care of itself so well. It's really impressive.
It takes up so much like emotional space and
Absolutely.
Resonance.
Yeah. And that's how I think I feel about the whole album, is like, these moments are really well crafted, very specific, very intentional, both lyrics and instrumentals. And that's what I think I like about it so much. Yeah. So shout out.
Tendencies.
To Middle Satchery. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just saying it's called Tendencies.
Yeah.
That's the album.
Yeah.
Man.
Heavy one.
Well, let's move to a slightly more upbeat.
Yeah, I'm also excited about this, so it's okay.
It's The Last Dinner Party.
Which we've been waiting
for.
It's the
record Prelude to Ecstasy. They have been having a moment in like music right now. They're one of those super like hyped bands, which is always kind of scary. They're reminding me a little bit of the hype that Wet Leg got like a year or two ago, which is not without its struggles, because there's also a lot of like insane criticism that bands with that level of like attention get.
Yeah.
Can't help but notice it mostly seems to happen to women bands, but I wonder why that is. Anyway, I really love The Last Dinner Party. They like, I was already a fan of them before the record dropped because they were opening for Hozier. And like, I'm a big Hozier guy. I saw a video of the lead singer, Abigail Morris, like singing Work Song with Hozier. And I was like, who is this enchanting creature who is somehow matching Hozier's level of like ethereal beauty?
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of how I got into
that. That's
band.
So funny. That's so good.
I just, yeah, I'm a really big fan of this record. There's just like the aesthetic, it already does feel very fully formed, which like they studied bands like in the London scene. They were in the Windmill scene, which I think is dope. That's like where Black Midi and Black Country New Road came from. So they kind of studied other bands that were like making it and were trying to figure out how do we present ourselves exactly how we want to present ourselves and how do we just come out swinging, basically.
Which it worked.
It did
Let
work.
Let me say that first. Because the way that, how you know that that's true, like that aesthetic studying and having it figured out, is because there's this like retroactive kind of thinking that you have to do when you're moving forward with an aesthetic as a group. But every time they've done something thus far, there's no sign of like trying to get rid of the past and move forward with something new. It's just momentum. Mm-hmm. Like the way that their songs have worked, both like the music itself and also how their covers, what they wear on the covers, what they wear.
There's a lot of like corsets,
it's
lot of
very
velvet.
Clear.
It's all very like decadent and sumptuous and bacchanalian and like they feel like literary heroines, or like if you're familiar with Donna Tartt, the author, they feel like in the vein of like her books. She did The Goldfinch and A Secret History.
Mm-hmm.
And her books are about these like super like erudite kind of like rich kids who are just like very well read and kind of pretentious, but also like beautiful.
Uh-huh.
And that's kind of like the universe that I feel like this album exists within.
And when they change it, it's still so intentional because they had it so figured out from the jump that like they can change almost everything they're wearing or everything, like how the song sounds in general. And suddenly you're like, wait, this is still like, it still fits the vibe so well.
Yeah, it's
because
really
you knew the very important things that made this what it was before you even started.
Mm-hmm.
So you can change everything else.
Yeah.
And we'll still all get it.
There's a lot of like pop elements to this, a lot of like chamber pop. They've been compared to Kate Bush, but there's also some songs that are borderline kind of rock opera.
Yeah.
I saw them say that they're like influenced by like Queen.
For
which
sure.
Also totally makes sense.
Absolutely.
Some comparisons to like Florence and the Machine. There's just so much going on here. But at the same time, it feels like a new thing. Like,
absolutely.
They aren't mimicking anyone, they're doing their own thing, and it really shows.
Yeah, you can tell. And I'll start my first shout out is Beautiful Boy.
Love. A song about gender envy.
Which is, okay.
To me.
Again. That's kind of part of this idea of the last song that we talked about for the Middle Satry album. That's kind of in the vein of what we talked about for the Middle Satry song, Hate Yourself to the Core, is like this thing that no one's really saying loudly enough for people to hear it, which I think is like in and of itself enough to make something interesting or beautiful.
Yes.
But then executing it is also a totally different thing. And this song is like, from the jump, you're like, oh, okay, I see what's going on. And then they draw you in with how it sounds, the way that the lyrics are, like the way that the lyrics work. It's really impressive. Like to me, the opening of this song is one of the strongest on the album, like the lyrical opening. The best a boy can ever be is pretty. He launches ships on which he sails to safety. And what I'm feeling isn't lust, it's envy. He has the earth, makes love to her to spite me. And then it keeps going, but it's like this storytelling aspect that is maybe clearer about what it's about than a song like Hate Yourself to the Core. But it's using this poetic storytelling, you've like drawn me in. I'm like, okay, tell me more. Please let me know what's going on. Yeah. I want to hear all of it.
There's so much lyricism that I'm obsessed with. I have a lot of lyric shout outs and song shout outs. The track Portrait of a Dead Girl, the opening lyrics are, when you laid like a wolf with your head on my lap, I felt like one of those portraits of women protected by a beast on a chain. And like the whole song is exploring that idea. Oh my God.
How?
And it just, it really does paint this portrait of like, it feels like it's from another era and it's inspired. Again, like it makes sense that they toured with Hozier because his songs also kind of have all of those like literary and religious references that make them feel like they're from a different time, a time of old.
For sure.
A time of tales, you know?
And it's impressive to be able to do that because we don't live in it, like from hip hop to country to pop music, storytelling is not done the same way as it was in the past. And for someone to be able to bring those elements back and still sound so new is very impressive to me.
No, definitely. it's a really interesting blending of like older aesthetics and sentiments with like, there's also this like really cool feminist bend to everything that they do, obviously. I also love the songs Sinner and My Lady of Mercy, because yeah. I also, those have some like queer themes in them that I'm really into. And Sinner and My Lady of Mercy are both also in the vein of religious metaphors in songs, mm-hmm. which I eat up every time. I can't not eat it up. The drama, the allegory, it's beautiful.
So it's like, it's just really impressive. I think, and I don't even know. The style. Like, the I can't. Style. Oh, my.
I want to be all time, of them so bad.
Every single time they release a new single or anything, and you, like, I'm almost waiting for the cover just as much as I'm waiting for the song itself. True. And I don't mean that because the songs are worse than that. I mean, they're like, they're giving on the covers, and I'm excited. And the whole time I'm listening, usually I like play music and I'll go to the cover. I'll be like, oh, that's a cool single cover. And then I play the song and I stop looking at my phone.
Yeah.
I'll listen to these songs, and the whole time I'm like, analyzing their outfits on the cover, because
it's like, as a fan of serving looks, I love the way they serve looks. Like,
as two fans of serving looks,
we know a thing or two about serving looks, and we can speak on the fact that they are serving look after look. And I've also seen this aesthetic with Chapel Rowan, like the idea of like playing drums in a corset, which her drummer does, that kind of thing makes me crazy. I think it's so cool.
Absolutely. And it's impressive to me, you know this about me, like I love when albums are encapsulating entities instead of a compilation of songs that could have been on any album, taking that from the level of just the album, but then the titles of the songs, then the aesthetic of the single cover, then the aesthetic of what you wear when you're doing performances and stuff. When all of those things are one encapsulating era, it's really, really impressive, especially for a newer group like this. It's absolutely very interesting to see, and I'm excited for whatever is next, but I'm happy to wait as long as necessary.
Yeah, Abigail Morris just has like an incredible stage presence and lyricism that I love. I will sometimes see videos of her like on TikTok or whatever of her performing.
Yeah.
And then I will go to my closet and try to recreate the outfit that she was wearing, because she's so inspirational to me.
Love.
Oh my gosh. And Nothing Matters, of course, is the last shout out. It was like their big single that kind of took off.
And rightfully so.
Rightfully so. Like the fact that the main lyric in the song is I will f*** you like nothing matters. It's just a really, it's so cool to drop your first single ever and have that be the main lyric
and
in the
like,
song that you repeat over and over.
And slap everyone that hears it. Like,
yeah, and just have all the backing vocals that are just like, da da da. Like,
it's phenomenal. Yeah, it's really awesome.
I think
both their just being so unapologetically what they've decided to be. Mm. Is impressive.
Yeah.
Very impressive. Because I think so many people kind of start one way and then they're like, okay, I don't know about this, that, and that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get rid of these three things and try this again. But for them to be like, okay, let's sit down and figure this out right now.
Mm.
And then to essentially come out with 100% hit rate with
it's
the aesthetic,
crazy.
With the songs. It's,
I'm really excited to see where they go from here based on the fact that this is their debut and it's already so like polished.
Mm-hmm.
I am excited to see them experiment even more and get to just find even more of what they want to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Love.
Anything else to say on it?
It's a good album.
All right. Well, as we said before at the beginning of this episode, thank you so much for listening, and thank you for trusting us to leave out your favorite albums. I'm so sorry for anything we missed.
There's too
which
many,
I know,
too many bangers.
I know we missed some. We will have a conversation with someone and or ourselves 2 minutes from now when we finish recording about the fact that we forgot something.
Yep.
And I will be sad about it. So when did we When did that Freako album come out? Last shout out. We found this band named Freako the other day.
That's F-R-I-K-O.
That we're Freako. In love with.
Yeah, they sent us their record. It's called Where We've Been, Where We Go From Here.
And the first track made us...
Yeah, Where We've that, Been.
We were devastated.
The first track.
In the
Where
best
we've
way possible,
been was,
and also in a sad way.
Yeah, it made us have a whole sad song moment this whole week where like we were just in sad song mode because this album is sad. The opening song is sad. It has my favorite thing of all time, which is a sad song where someone starts screaming at the end.
That is,
I don't think you can beat that.
That is the Paris classic.
We call that the Paris classic.
I don't
here.
Even think I would say it's just sad songs where someone screams at the... I think if the trajectory is low energy to screaming,
yeah.
you've... You've got Paris.
Yeah, I'm hooked.
I'm a big fan too.
I'll
but like,
go to
it's
all
not...
your shows and love your band forever.
Yeah. So Freako is our last shout out because that is one album that we didn't know about that we were really excited about.
Yes.
Our little joint pick. But we hope you all have a wonderful month of love, a wonderful Black History Month, and
good March as well, now that it's Women's History Month.
Enjoy spring breaks as they come along for those of you who have them.
Enjoy the snow because March is the snowiest month in Colorado, at least.
And at least here where we are. So goodbye.
Bye-bye.
We'll see you next time.
Bye.